Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Mark Schall, and today's episode is The Art of Confrontation. For those of you who are new to Mark My Words and to me, I'm a certified life and business coach. I help people do what they do better, whether it's your relationship, your career, or any leadership role you're in, formally or informally. I help you get the results you want in your life. Now, those of you who know me and are familiar with my show know that I usually start off by telling some story that relates to today's topic, and it's usually a story about something that's happened to me within the last 24 to 48 hours, or 24 to 48 minutes for that matter. But today, nothing's happened related to confrontation, which is our topic, and I'm kind of happy about that. So I'm just going to jump right in. In both our personal lives and our professional lives, we're faced with having to have difficult, challenging conversations that feel awkward, conflictual, and even uncomfortable. Handling these effectively is critical to building and maintaining strong, positive relationships. In our personal relationships, this is essential for our happiness. In our work relationships, it's critical for our success. My guest today is Tanya Ezekiel. Tanya is a career coach and is the founding partner of CareerCoach.com, an executive coaching partnership of career and leadership coaches who specialize in professional development for private individuals, corporations, and MBA programs throughout the United States. Not only am I lucky enough to have Tanya on my show, but I'm also lucky to be able to work with her on a regular basis. I'm one of the leadership coaches in her executive coaching partnership at CareerCoach.com, currently working with her coaching MBA students at Cornell University's Johnson School of Business. Before becoming a coach, Tanya worked in the financial industry on Wall Street. She transitioned to coaching 3 years ago, pursuing her coach training and education at IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, where she was a student of mine, as I'm an instructor at IPEC. Tanya's intuitive, candid charisma and earnest, perceptive nature make her a very effective coach, as she deftly uses her gift for identifying opportunities her clients might not see and turns goals and desires into realized realities. Empowering and encouraging, Tanya inspires the best game from each of her clients. So welcome, Tanya.
Hi, Mark.
Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly, certainly. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. So before we get started, just want to remind everybody that the call-in number, if you'd like to call in and have a question for me or for Tanya, is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. So we'll be taking your calls, and you can chat with us as well through the chat room. So as I said, being able to deal with confrontation, challenging and difficult conversations, puts you steps ahead in achieving success and happiness in all your relationships. And a lot of us know that can be really hard to do. So many of us don't know how to do that. Some of our listeners this evening are coaches that are looking for helpful information on helping their clients deal with confrontation. Some of you are not coaches, and you're looking for tips for yourself to deal effectively with confrontation. So tonight, Tanya and I are going to discuss the art of confrontation and leave you with strategies for being more effective and successful in such situations. So before I get into the topics, Tanya, tell us a little bit about how you got into coaching in the first place.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Well, I started my career as a trader on Wall Street, actually, almost 20 years ago now. And after about 15 or so years on Wall Street, where I rose through the ranks and held a variety of positions in trading and sales and business development, and most recently as an managing director at Bank of America, I realized in hindsight, of course, that most of what worked really well for my throughout my career was not really about the projects or the functions of the platforms, but it was all about people. And that's when I realized just a few years back now, where you and I met in during IPEC training, that I was just really passionate about helping people with their careers and with their businesses, and having checked a lot of the boxes that I felt were important to me as I evolved from a very goal-driven career to one where I embraced the process of relationships and interaction with people, I found that to be really the most rewarding part of my career. And thanks to you, Mark. You led me and a bunch of our colleagues to our sweet spot. So that's really how I got into coaching. And as you mentioned, the clear niche for me a few years ago was I found career coaching. So we'll talk some more later about how to get in touch with me, but the long and short of it is at thecareercoach.com. You can learn a lot more about me and my programs.
Great. I know communication is a topic that you're passionate about. How come? How did you get there, and why specifically confrontation?
Well, communication, for start, leadership is all about communication, and it's all about how we show up. We talk about leadership presence. We talk about communication from a verbal perspective, from a nonverbal perspective. But I realized every time I was coaching, and it's interesting you talk about the MBAs, because MBAs are really people in transition, in career transition, and we're all at some point of that. We're all in transition at some point in our career. Most of us are either in career acceleration, career transition, or career transformation. And in each of those phases, communication is very key. So it could be that we're selling our company or our product. It could be that we're interviewing. It could be that we're networking. We're negotiating. Every one of those areas was all about communication and, to some degree, forms of confrontation. So when we talk about confrontation, mm-hmm. we'll get into it. Confrontation is not negative. We see it as negative, which is why a lot of us fear confrontation, because we fear something negative. But the way we're going to talk about confrontation today, it's not actually negative. It's positive. It's a relationship builder.
Yeah, you know, I always say when I do a lot of my training programs in various organizations that I go to, that I always say conflict isn't bad or good. It just kind of is. It's just a natural part of life. It's really how we respond to it that makes the difference. And in fact, you know, even when you think throughout nature and throughout the laws of chemistry and physics, right, conflict, things heating up, are actually very natural parts of the way the world works and are very needed processes. You know, hydrogen and oxygen atoms don't become life-sustaining water until there's a big, huge explosion after they heat up. So, you know, heating up is something that's natural. And when we look at it that way, we can actually frame confrontation in a much more empowering way than looking at it as something that's bad and unnecessary and that we wish didn't have to happen. What got you, I mean, I know you made your transition into coaching recently and how you went about it, but as you look back kind of on your life, what ultimately drew you to becoming a coach?
Well, it's interesting. One of the stories, and as you asked that, I kind of hear me thinking about, well, you know, what's my experience with confrontation, right? And how can that help people? And, of course, I have tons of experience as a trader, as a salesperson, as running businesses. But really why this topic and why it's been so empowering for me is because I'm always proud of myself throughout my career as having self-control, self-management. I could sit in a meeting and wait for the right moment to say something or not say something at all. And I found those throughout my career, I thought those were the most powerful ways that I played my position. But sometimes, when it got hot in the kitchen, I'd kind of zip it and bite my tongue and suppress, which I now learn is not the right way to lead to a confrontation. And then when let's just call it push came to shove, I then have a confrontation as I knew it, which is a full expression of how I was feeling at that time, because I had it. Well, that never worked out for me, Mark. And in hindsight, there were so many of those situations that I cared enough about, which is what you're saying about confrontation. Confrontation is an opportunity because we care enough to have to confront. Now, sometimes that caring can get emotional, can get pretty intense, and we can mm-hmm. suppress our feelings until we just can't take it anymore, and then we just let it rip, right? And that's when we literally let it rip and tear our relationships. And so what I learned, once I learned this method, which we're going to go through, it really empowered me that every time there was an opportunity that I thought I just charged enough and moved enough to want to confront a situation, it's because I cared enough about the relationship to get it to a better place. And so when I learned this method, all my relationships improved, personally and professionally. Mm. And something so magical happened that I realized that I with this method we're about to discuss, I just became more, what empowered me to have more direct and more honest conversations in all my relationships earlier. And even if some of the things I was saying were more direct than they had ever been, they actually ended up bringing the relationships closer. And that was probably, you know, when I talk about how I went from not doing it so well to learning this method and doing it so much more effective, it plays in my coaching every single day. And every single one of my clients learns this method at some point.
Great. Well, I'm really excited about you sharing the method here with us tonight, and I'm sure people are dying for that information. So first what I want to know is, when it comes to confrontation, why is it, in your experience, Tanya, that people find confrontation so difficult?
You know, one of the things, we fear it, right? It's just, it's actually one of our main fears, and we all say, oh, I'm non-confrontational. I've never heard someone say, I love confrontation, and when they do, I realize they like an aggressive form of confrontation, which actually also tears relationships. And that's not, like, for example, an explosive anger can feel confrontational, but that's not actually what we're talking about, which is proactive confrontation. So you end up in the same place. Whether you go passive-aggressive and bite your tongue and never say anything and walk away, or you explode at the wrong time and say everything you're thinking about, those are both destructive. Mm-hmm. So we all naturally fear confrontation because I think, Mark, it kind of threatens our self-image and our identity. So it goes against what a lot of us think of ourselves to be, right? If we perceive ourselves to be calm, controlled, level-headed, then when we think about confronting, It feels very vulnerable. It feels exposed, and we also don't know what the other person's going to say that's then going to threaten our image as well. Sometimes it's pride.
Mm.
Sometimes it's just we don't want to lose. We may just not even want to be wrong. So as we go through these things, this image we have of what could happen when we engage in a confrontation, we rarely think of anything good coming of it.
Sure. Yeah, and I know when I work with my clients, that's one of the things I do when a client is going to be having a difficult conversation with somebody. I actually haven't spent time visualizing what they want the outcome to be, and you know, because they're already visualizing what the outcome is that they don't want. So to really have them focus on the outcome that they do want is actually something that could be very, very, very effective. In fact, one of the things, Tony Robbins talks about this, about focusing on what you want instead of what you don't want. And he talks about how back in the heyday of Route 66, when that was pretty much the only way that you can drive out to the West Coast, there were a lot of accidents along Route 66 where cars would spin off the highway and they'd slam into telephone poles. And this really made researchers curious because given how much space there was between the telephone poles relative to how much space there was of pole, the chances of actually hitting a pole and spinning off the road were very, very slim. Yet it was happening at a very high rate, a much greater rate than chance accuracy, which indicated that there must have been some third something at play. So they researched this, and they interviewed people who had been lucky enough to survive these accidents. And what they asked them was, what's the last thing you remember seeing before you hit the pole? Every single one of them said the pole, because that's what they were focused on. When they started spinning off the road, they're like, oh, my God, look at that pole. I hope I don't hit that pole. Get away from the pole. I don't want to hit the pole. Pole, 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 pole. And then, of course, that's where they go, right into the pole. The moral of the story is focus on the space. Focus on where you want to go, not where you don't want to go. And I think that really certainly applies here when it comes to any result, especially in a confrontation. Focus on what you want the outcome to be and aim for it instead of trying to avoid the potholes that you don't want to hit.
And Mark, that's such a good point, because a lot of times when we think of confronting someone, we imagine just getting it off our chest, right? We imagine that we start with tension and we're going to end up with less tension ourselves. So a lot of times we make it about us and about how we can shift our energy from tense or annoyed or unnerved to less of that negative emotion. And we don't necessarily put our sight on an improved relationship.
Yes.
And that's part of
exactly.
the process.
Yeah. And, you know, what I find a lot of people do as well is they'll sit down and they'll go, you know what, I don't really care about the other person's reaction. I don't care. I'm just going to tell it like it is, and I'll be fine. And really what they're doing is suppressing the truth. They do care about the other person's reaction. What they're really saying is, I'm just going to pretend it doesn't bother me if it doesn't go my way. And then all that's left
right.
really is passive aggressiveness at that point.
Exactly.
So,
I don't want to go there because then if it turns around on me, then I'm going to look bad. And you know what? I don't even want to start. Or we imagine that what that person's going to say, and then we fear that. Well, if I tell Mark
right.
how I feel, then Mark's just going to turn around and attack me instead.
Right.
So I'm just not going to bother.
Yep. Exactly. So tell us, what's your definition of confrontation? What is it, and what isn't it?
Well, let's start with what it's not. It's not clearing the air. It's not getting something off your chest. It's not teaching someone a lesson, which I've heard, right? I've heard before, like, well,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I'm going to tell them how I feel because they really need to know that what they're doing, it hurts people and they need to stop hurting people, whatever it is, right? It's not proving you're right and they're wrong. And this is a big one, Mark. And I know you and I were on a call together once we were doing this topic. And to recall, there was a story where we were coaching someone through this process about a peer that they were working with who they just really
mm-hmm.
could not get along with, and they were just really annoyed by everything that person did. And we were talking about how to help her confront her peer. I remember we went through this process, and in the end, she just kept saying, but he's just wrong, right? And we'll get into that, and it's not just proving someone's wrong, because anytime you engage in a conversation, in a relationship, in a phone call, in anything, right, where you just want to prove somebody wrong, that's actually not a good confrontation. Now, it can feel confrontational,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the
sure.
relationship-building confrontation we're talking about. So going back to what it's not teaching someone a lesson. It's not speaking your mind when you finally have nothing left to lose. It's not clearing your chest. It's not clearing the air. It's not proving them wrong and you right. And it's just not negative at the end of the day. What we're talking about here, and Mark, you and I do a lot of work around energy leadership, what we're talking about here is coming from a higher, more constructive, energetic place to build a relationship. So what confrontation
yeah.
is, so what that leaves us with what confrontation is, it is a process that can build a bond between people. Because it's what takes the relationship to the next level. So like when you said something earlier, which is sometimes they say, you know what, I just don't even care. And it's true. If you really don't care, like sincerely, if you really just could not care less, then maybe there's nothing there to confront because you don't care enough about the relationship to even improve it. All right. So that's why this process we're talking about is a relationship builder. So we're talking about confrontation as a process and a tool to build relationships. We're talking about proactive confrontation as a process and a tool to build relationships.
Yeah, that's great. Because, you know, so many people think about it as the opposite. So I really love how you're sort of calling us out on what confrontation isn't. So it's about creating a whole different set, a whole different mindset and framing confrontation entirely differently. So I guess one of the things that people probably want to know is that in order to do that, what is it that we can do, first of all, to make sure that we're in the right mindset and that we don't really blow it?
Good point. Because the blowing at risk is.
We can start out with really great intentions. We can start out with the greatest intentions, and then, you know, our emotions get the best of us, and the outer cortex of the brain shuts down, and before we know it, bam, we're like, you know, in orbit.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is sometimes you get like an instant energy fix from that, right? Like for a second you have relief, and you think that was a good idea, and then you wake up the next morning and you think, oh, that was ugly.
Right.
I think I blew it. Okay, so good question. So how do we make sure that we don't blow it? Well, I actually have prepared 5 prerequisites for a confrontation to build relationships. You ready for them?
Great. We are ready for them.
Okay. So the first one is proactive, not reactive. What does that mean? That means that I am thinking about it, planning, moving forward in an organized fashion to make this a productive process. I'm not waiting for my buttons to be pushed to take action. You know, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which I admit I did, you know, several stages of my career, and I'm sure my personal relationship as well, which is to wait, to kind of like bite my tongue, wait, and then when my buttons were pushed, that's when I just let it out, right? I've had enough. Mm-hmm. This is the 10th time, and enough is enough, and here's what I think about how things are going down here. So that's reactive. When you wait for your buttons to be pushed to take action, when you wait for to be triggered to finally respond or to even speak up or defend yourself or whatever the situation is for you, that's a reactive situation. That is not proactive confrontation. Mm-hmm. That's not the relationship-building process we're talking about today.
Absolutely, because we do tend to react. And the interesting thing is, you know, at a very basic sort of primal level, we are organisms responding and reacting to our environment. But I think that one of the things that separates us out from other animals is that we have the ability to stop, think, analyze, be aware of our behavior, and make conscious choices over our behavior. And what I understand happens is that when the emotions really start running really high in a situation, and we are really, really triggered, and the heart starts racing and you get that fight or flight reaction, right, then all of those higher level things that we can do begin to shut down because we get into that survival mode. And then our more primal things come out, and then it becomes about yelling and screaming and, you know, letting someone know how we feel just for the sake of letting them know how we feel, and even worse, in some confrontation.
Absolutely. Fight or flight, so, exactly. That's reactive. We're talking about a proactive process where you think about it, you create the space for it, you plan your words, and you move forward in a non-emotionally reactive way.
Yeah.
You have a question, Mark, before we move on to the second one?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. So the second prerequisite is you accept that there is a lesson in the experience for you. So there's a situation with my peer. They get on my nerves. They're in the next cubicle, and everything they say makes me feel like they're disrespecting my opinion, whatever it is. So, and I want to confront them and tell them that the way they represent me in meetings or the way they go against my comments in meetings isn't working for me. But, so, of course, first I have to be proactive in my process. But second, I accept that there's a lesson in the experience. So I accept that I'm going through this experience with this person where I feel I need to confront them in a proactive way because there's something for me to learn in the experience. So this is a big one. Again, if we go back to, well, because I'm just going to go through this because they need to know they're wrong and I'm right, that is not saying there's a lesson in this experience. It's when I say, okay, there must be a reason this is happening to me, that I sit next to somebody who constantly disrespects my word or who constantly disregards my opinion. What's the lesson in it for me? What am I really supposed to learn here? Maybe what I'm supposed to learn is just how to have a confrontation with this person that will build our relationship. Maybe I'm supposed to learn that not running away from this situation is my learning experience. Maybe I'm supposed to learn that quitting the job doesn't solve the problem because I'll have another boss just like it in the next job who I'll also need to learn to confront. So I have to accept, in order for this, the second requisite in order for this, for the confrontation to build a relationship for us, is that we accept that there's a lesson in the experience for us.
Mm-hmm. Great. And the third one?
The third one is you're ready to share the responsibility for the relationship. Share the responsibility for the relationship. And so the prerequisite here is that it's not about me. And it's not even about you. It's about I'm ready to take responsibility. That wherever we are now, we are because of how we both contributed to the relationship. Kind of it takes two to tango. So we're here at Tango, and we both have a part in it. Now, again, this is not like, I'm right, you're wrong, which is a fallback for a lot of us. This is, we're ready to take responsibility. So I have contributed to this relationship, so have you.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, what's interesting, too, is I remember a coaching mentor that I had once said to me, whenever he's in a discussion with anyone, which is one of those kinds of conversations, he always asks himself, before he's about to say something, he asks himself, is what I'm about to say going to build relationship and esteem or tear it down? If it's going to build it, then he says it. If it's going to tear it down, then he doesn't say it, and he instead figures out a way to say what he needs to say and express himself in a way that builds esteem and relationship and doesn't break it down. And so, I think that's really important. I mean, imagine, with your kids, if every time we need to confront our kids and help them learn something, we reframe that confrontation this way instead of just berating them. I have such a sensitivity around that. I just, for some reason, when I'm in a store, I'm out on the street, and I see somebody interacting with their kid, and they're just yelling at them and berating them for being a kid and doing what a 5-year-old does or doing what a 10-year-old does, and it seems pretty apparent that that's the pattern. It just breaks my heart. And so that's why I would love, I mean, this should be like standard training for new parents.
Yeah, and even in the example you gave, Mark, in the example you gave, you put that implied pause, which is to just, if this is going to, if right now my expression will tear this relationship, then let me pause and come back at it in a proactive way.
Yeah, definitely. So great. So we've got three prerequisites. Before we get into the process itself, I just want to take a quick break for a few announcements. So first, I just want to say that next month, my show schedule is going to be a little different. Usually, Mark My Words is the first and third Sunday of the month. But since the first Sunday is a holiday, my next episode will be September 8th, and it will actually be the only show in September. So join me on September 8th for Powerful Vulnerability, Countering the 5 Most Common Mistakes People Make in Communication. An interview with Paul Sterling, who's a relationship and communication coach and creator of the Magic Relationship Method. Most of our relationships, when they end because our problems are bigger than our skill set. Language is a skill set, and the language of communication is one of feelings and needs, and most of us are not learned in this vocabulary. So join Paul and me while we discuss some of the secrets to better communication in our intimate relationships and learn about the 5 mistakes that people make in their communication and how to bring the intimacy back to your most important relationship. Actually, that kind of relates to some of what we're talking about this evening, so that's actually a good place for us to pick up after we leave off with Sonia this evening. So you can visit that show page tonight and click the Remind button so you don't miss it if you go to the Life Coach Radio Network page on Blog Talk Radio. So I also just want to announce the next 3 shows that we have on our networks. So on our sister station of International Life Coach Radio, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we have Me Optimized with style coach Tiffany Dixon. Whether you're 20, 30, 40, or 50 and fabulous, you can't afford to miss this next episode. If you're in your 20s, you probably notice your first major shift in your life. Chances are you're no longer rocking your favorite high school looks. As you pass from one chapter or decade of your life to the next, you grow and mature as an individual. The same should happen to your style. It's very common for us to fall into a style rut, as most of us get stuck on the style of one of our chapters of our lives, you know, the good old days. So it's time to understand the style rules of your decade. So that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. with style coach Tiffany Dixon on International Life Coach Radio. And here on Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow night at 9, immediately following, Coach Frank Gomes motivates and inspires us with his show, Frank Talk. And this week, the language of your life. Frank discusses how the language we use in our lives often points to how life will unfold for us. So he'll lead us to look at how we can use language to help us create more happiness for ourselves. Also links very well to tonight's topic, because the language that we use in confrontation, I think, is very important as well. And then also on the Life Coach Radio Network, Tuesday at 8 p.m., New You City chat with Danielle Mercurio, who I just learned yesterday lives like right down the street from me here in New York. Manifest Your Dreams is the title of her show, and as a personal life coach, Danielle actually inspires city dwellers to find balance amidst the chaos, all while looking and feeling their hottest, most confident selves. So in this episode, she's going to discuss how visualization and affirmations can help you achieve your dream city life. And then to plug a program that I've got coming up. I've got a teleseminar series coming up called Leveraging Your Natural and True Self to Create a Satisfying Life. It's based on the Revolutionary CVI Assessment. You can check out my July 9th episode called Stop Struggling, Rise to Your Highest and Best Contribution to learn more if you want, or visit my website and click on Seminars and Events. Again, the number to call for tonight is 646-716-9397, and we're talking with Tanya Ezekiel about the art of confrontation. So, Tanya, you gave us three prerequisites, and I goofed. I realize there's two more. So let's hear those, and then we'll get into the actual steps of the confrontation.
There are two more. Thank you. There are two more. We can move quickly through them so we can get into our formula. So the fourth prerequisite.
Yes, I think everyone's dying for that.
Okay. So quickly, quick recap. Number one was proactive, not reactive. Number two was you accept there's a lesson in the experience. Number three as a prerequisite is that you're ready to share the responsibility for the relationship. Number four is really, really important. Your intention is to bring this person closer. Your intention is to end up in a better relationship, not in a broken relationship. This is key. And we'll talk about how that plays into our formula. And fifth, Mark, is the person is open to listening to you. If this doesn't happen, then your first four prerequisites are not even there. So you can come up with as many ways to confront this person as you want. But if they want to have nothing to do with it, then you'll just be talking at them, and that's not a relationship builder. So again, the big picture mm-hmm. here is we're building relationships. And in order to build relationships, we use confrontation as a tool. And in order for confrontation to work the way it should to build our relationship, these five prerequisites need to be there.
Great. So tell us what the three steps are. There's three, right?
Yes.
Five prerequisites, three steps. I had it the other way in my mind for some reason. So, great. So what are the three steps to successful confrontation? Is there a formula? What tell us about that. What's the first step?
There's a formula, and the key word here is intention. So the first step to confronting somebody who you want to build a relationship with through your honesty and your openness and directness and engagement in the relationship is to check in with yourself. What is your intention? And so the first step doesn't even involve the other person. The first step is just you on your own preparing for the confrontation. What is your intention? Make sure it is not proving you're right and it's not some of the other things we said. Make sure it's not getting it off your chest, clearing the air, reducing the tension inside of you, blowing some steam, whatever it is. Your intention can only be to bring this person closer. Your intention can only be to end up in a better relationship. Your intention can only be in a better working relationship, personal relationship. This formula works when your intention is very pure and clear. So we talked about this, and we've seen some examples, again, as you and I have coached, you've heard me coach through this topic before, is that your intention is only to improve relationships with your boss, not to let them know that you're uncomfortable with the way they're treating you. Because that just means you're right in the way you expect to be treated, and they're wrong in the way they're treating you, and that you're just going at it to correct that difference or that discrepancy. That's not it. The magic formula to confrontation is that you check in with yourself, what's your intention, and that your intention is only to bring the relationship closer.
Great. So it's really, again, I'm hearing a lot about just get out of right and wrong. And that really sounds like the bottom line. Just get out of this right and wrong mode.
Yeah, and that's a simplification, so we could have different versions of that. Well, it's just there. It's not that I want to prove them wrong. It's just that they should know that they're not contributing enough to the team project. Well, that's still a version of I want to prove to them that their contribution is wrong and my expectation of their contribution is right. So, yes, thank you for pointing that out. The simple thing is really checking in your intention. Am I really... Is this about proving them wrong and me right, or do I want them to end up closer? So the second step is to state your intention to improve the relationship with the person involved. So first you made sure your intention is totally clear. And like I said, you mentioned something earlier, which is, so you think you're approaching with the right mindset, and then you get involved, and suddenly you get a little heated and emotional, and suddenly your intention changes and goes back to, now we're arguing that I'm right and you're wrong. So again, if that happens, and it could happen, you know, you could start off with the right intention, but once you get into it, your button can get pushed by something they say, and suddenly you're back to square one. So at that point, back off. You know, take a deep breath, reset your intention, and say, if I want this relationship to improve, then go back in and state the intention. So it could be in the form of, I know we've had our differences, but it's really important to me that we end up with a closer working relationship. And I saw one of my clients, who's a senior executive in a big corporation recently, use this method to handle an employee. Through feedback. So feedback, in a way, is a form of confrontation, right? It's a form of, well, here are the things that we love about what you're doing, and here are the things that if we can get more of from you or less of from you, then we'll all end up in a better place. And so we frame this feedback, and he's come back to me in the last couple of weeks saying, this employee has totally changed their behavior in a very short amount of time, because he started off with the intention of, I want to invest in this person, I want them to feel supported, and I want them to trust me, and I want to build our relationship. And he went in with that intention, and he declared that intention. And it completely disarmed the person who was feeling defensive. And he described kind of their shoulders just dropped, and suddenly they were much calmer than they usually are in that type of situation. And because he declared the intention. And Mark, my clients use this, check my intention, declare my intention for everything they do, especially in large, you know, sometimes they're in large corporations, sometimes they're very political situations, but they start out the conversation with, here's why I'd love for us to have a better relationship. I've been thinking about this and realized that I care that we have a better, closer working relationship, and I wanted to start our conversation by declaring that. And it's proven to be extremely powerful.
Yeah. You know, and it's amazing. And this is for all our relationships, too. I mean, imagine the difference between, you know something, honey, you really, really made me mad with such and such, versus, you know, I'd really like to talk about something because I feel that there's something that might be in the way of our communication, and I don't really want it there because I love you. So can we talk about this and clear the air on this?
Exactly.
You know, the intention is in there.
Yes, and you just skipped to number three of the three steps.
Oh, I did.
You see, it flows very naturally, because, and I'm so glad you got there on your own, because it flows very naturally. Once you set your intention on your own, then you declare your intention, then it's only natural and it fits in with the process to ask for permission. So you know you want to build a relationship. You declare that our relationship is very important to me and our communication is really important to me and to building our relationship, and then you ask permission. How would you feel about talking things through? And it's so important, and that's because the person has to be willing to receive your efforts. If for whatever reason they say, our relationship is not as important to me as you're making it sound, then you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because the whole thing about asking permission, I think, is so important, too, because, you know, you say something and they feel defensive, right? And they seem to be getting defensive. Instead of saying, you know, it seems to me you're getting defensive, right, which is only going to make them more defensive and declare that they're not defensive. but to instead say, yeah, to ask permission and say something like, so can I just make an observation right now? And wait for the person to say, well, yeah, what? And, I mean, not that they're going to be all nice about it necessarily. They might have a little bark in their tongue. They're like, what? What's your observation? Yes, go ahead, right? And if they don't say yes, go ahead, then to say, well, you know what? I mean, I don't want to just throw something at you if it's not something that you're going to be comfortable hearing or that you think is going to be helpful. So may I make the observation? And they go, yeah, sure, go ahead. And then when you make the observation, say, well, you know, it seems like you might be feeling a little defensive in response to what I'm saying right now. How true might that be? You know, that's a much gentler way of being able to then make that observation by asking permission. And then we can come back to stating the intention and declaring the intention again. So, well, you know what? My intention is not to do that. My intention, again, is to build our relationship, to get clearer in our communication. So if that's happening, I'm sorry, it's not my intention. Here's what my intention is, which is why I pointed that out. And that can diffuse a lot.
Absolutely. And what you're going back to kind of the one of the prerequisites, which is sharing responsibility for the relationship. All right. So when you declare that we're in this together and I want to build on our relationship, it's implied that you're not going to go back into the history. And as you notice, these three steps we're talking about, we're not actually talking about how you tell them that what they did was hurt your feelings. That's almost less relevant at this point, because once you set up the right energy around that this communication and this interaction, then what follows is less relevant than we make it to be. Whereas without this process, we focus on what it is we want to tell them that isn't working. Right? And this process is not about that. This process is about creating the right energy in the relationship for you to share the responsibility, check in, to invest in the important relationships in your life, declare the importance of those relationships and your desire to improve them and bring them closer, and then ask permission and open the doors for the communication. Because once you're there, if you maintain this energy and this mindset throughout, then you can say almost anything that follows. So you can say, once you set that energy, you can almost say, you know, it feels to me that the situation is making you defensive. What about the way I'm approaching it is making you feel that way? Right? Then then you can say you're being defensive, but it won't be with the same energy as, I need to talk to you and I've had it with you and your defensive reactions to everything I have to say.
Right.
Once you set
exactly.
mindset, the right energy, you can say almost anything, and if you maintain that desire to improve the relationship, you're all on the right path. So there we have it, Mark.
Yep.
That's the formula.
Excellent. Love it. Very, very effective. So great. So what I really like about this entire process is the focus on building relationships and using confrontation as a framework for building relationships. Because A, that's really what it's about. And B, if we don't frame it that way, we run a real big risk of destroying or damaging the relationship in some way instead. So I think that's really, it's really important. Can you talk a little bit, Tanya, about the difference between not going there, so to speak, because it's not productive, versus really just suppressing what you're feeling, which really doesn't help?
Oh, that's such a great great question, Mark. And it is, a lot of times we mistake our suppression for what I'll call restriction, right? And I'll use those two words and I'll explain. So suppression is when it's really like you want to say something, but you bite your tongue and you don't say it. And a month later, you're still not over it. That is not productive. That's actually, unfortunately, a form of, that will lead to passive-aggressive behavior, which always destroys relationships. There's nothing good that can come of passive-aggressive behavior, right?
That's right.
And what happens is suppression leads to that. And so the only way, when we talk about, like, proactive confrontations, the only way to really address the emotions around it is to actually restrict for a moment. And if you're capable of letting it go, like let's say you said something yesterday, Mark, that hurt my feelings, and in that moment I wanted to say, wow, ouch, Mark, that was not nice. But instead, I just kind of held it for a moment and then tried to let it go. Now, if the next day that letting go worked and I'm over it, it's done. We don't need to go back to it because that will not hurt the relationship. Because I'm not holding on to it. What hurts relationships is the suppression and the holding on, which is why if you find yourself still thinking about something that you thought you just bit your tongue on and didn't mention at the time, then if you're still holding on, it needs to be addressed. And so if you're still holding on, you need to confront it in a proactive fashion to build that relationship. If you're able to let it go, great. It's done, it's over with, and it's a good thing you didn't speak up at the moment because it wasn't that important.
Mm-hmm.
So which brings us back to the pause is always a way to to know that you're moving in the right direction. Because, you know, sometimes we just don't hit send on the email, and the next day we don't even think about it, right? Whereas if we reacted
yeah.
to hit send, who knows what could have happened.
That's right. Absolutely. In fact, I always tell people, if you're going to be responding to an email that has triggered you emotionally, to open a Word document and write out your response. Don't hit reply and write out your response thinking that you just won't send it yet because it's reflexive. You know, your reflex is when you're done, you're going to hit send. And I've known so many people who've done that, and then they hit send and they go, oh, I didn't want to hit send, and
yeah.
it's gone. So open a Word yeah, document and type your response. Better yet, open a Word document, type your response, and then wait a few minutes, and then call the person and talk to them instead, or go visit
yeah.
them in person if you have the opportunity. It's much better than responding by email because we lose 93% of the communication when the person only has our words to go by. They don't have our tone of voice. They don't have our facial expressions, our eye contact, and all that.
All good tips. Don't hit send. Another tip, Mark, is if you are going to hit reply instantly and type your message out, then delete the person's name from the address box just so you don't accidentally send it when you're not ready. So all of us should do that because it's sometimes I think, well, what did that email just go? Did I just accidentally send it? And a lot of times, like you said, you lose so much of the communication that it's either better said in person. Sometimes you type it out. Once you do, you let it go. Then you delete
yep.
the whole email and don't send it at all. So all really good tips. And these are all part of, I think, Mark, we had spoken about some of the programs we do, which is one coming up, actually, which is 6 weeks to powerful communications, which include a lot of these business communication tips that we'll be going through. And that happens in negotiations. Like there was an example a couple weeks ago where I had a client who was expecting an offer, and really they told her to sit by the phone and be ready for an offer. And one of the tips I gave to her, which we go a lot into, you know, a lot of negotiation tips, and one of the tips was to actually not answer the phone when it rang right away, so that she had the option to sort of take a deep breath, put herself in a more proactive frame of mind, call back, and that calling back could be a minute later. It's just, it doesn't have to be, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate actually to be 3 days later, but to even just think, take a deep breath, get in the right mindset, not be ready to respond emotionally to it, because whatever comes out of your mouth in that moment you get an offer is very important. And we go through all the negotiating techniques and interview and networking techniques that find you to say the right thing at the right time and in the right set coming from the right energy. All these things add up to leadership presence and how to progress in your career. So all really important tips.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to add one of my own, too, which is that, you know, sometimes we go into a confrontation, we're doing it effectively, and then we get triggered in the middle of it, and the blood pressure starts to go up, and we are going to start losing it, or the person says something to us that we weren't really expecting, that might even be hurtful, or that may have triggered us for some reason. So what I always recommend to my clients is that at that point, if it's really getting hot and things are escalating, then take a 20-minute break. At least a 20-minute break. And there's a physiological reason for that as well. Because when we get into that fight-or-flight response where our blood pressure increases, our palms get sweaty, our heart rate increases, right? You know, there's all of these hormones like cortisol and adrenaline that are rushing through our bodies to prepare us for the fight, right, or for the flight. So it takes about 20 minutes, and studies show that it takes 20 minutes at least for the bloodstream to clear itself of those hormones. So we are not in control when those hormones reach a certain level. So it's important to take a 20-minute break, walk away, go breathe, go for a walk for at least 20 minutes, then come back and continue the conversation with, again, declaring your intention and getting back on track. Because otherwise what starts happening is we lose it, and we lose touch with our ability. Again, for biological reasons, not because we're weak. It's the way we're designed. And so it's important so that we're not getting out of hand to the point where we just go, oh, forget this, and we start launching all these personal attacks and saying things that we regret almost the moment they come out of our mouths, or that we might regret even later.
So, Tanya, how could people get in touch with you and follow you if they would like?
Thank you. Sure. Well, we'll make it really simple. CareerCoach.com. You can find everything you need right there. In fact, probably what a lot of people enjoy is receiving our weekly career tips. And so if you just go to the website, careercoach.com, and put your email in there, then every Tuesday or so going forward, you get a career tip. And some of these tips include a process like the art of confrontation or negotiation tips, networking tips, a lot of different tools that we just share freely on that website. And also the other thing to think about is careercoach.com/program. There's a programs tab on the website that will lead us to this communication course we're about to open. It's a 6-week course. We'll go through a lot of this. And just, you know, today we talked a lot about kind of one-on-one confrontations, but you know, what we specialize in is business communications in general. So we're talking about situations to use a confrontation process, even in something like doing a deal, right? So if you're trying to buy a company and you're in the middle of tough negotiations and the lawyers are saying one thing and the owners of that company are saying another, same thing. You use this intention process and say, look, our intention is to get this deal done. That's our number one priority. Now, how would you feel about running through some of these outstanding issues, right? So it's not just about one-on-one, peer-to-peer or boss or employee situations, but it's in every business interaction, every business communication. So going back to that, careercoach.com/program, we're about to start mid-September a six-week course, and actually the first 10 or so participants to register will have a chance to work with me one-on-one in a private session to go over some of their challenging communication issues. And otherwise, we have a really good program, including an elevator pitch workshop, which is amazing. We go through a very elaborate process on how to understand your own career story, break it down, build it up in a concise fashion, and be able to tell it on the fly in an engaging fashion, again, to build relationships in a very short amount of time. So all this at careercoach.com, put in your email, receive tips, and /programs will get you to the program coming soon.
Great. Thank you. And let me just also say what a great bonus it is to be able to have a one-on-one session with Tanya. She is such an amazing coach, and you will see something in your life dramatically differently when you have the opportunity to work with her, whether it's one-on-one or in the seminar. The one-on-one is just such an amazing bonus to be able to get. So I would run, not walk, to your nearest web browser and sign up for that. And also, as far as your career tips, I just want to say, I don't know that I've ever actually told you how much I love those career tips. You know, I'm on a bunch of email lists of all kinds of things, and I often don't really get to read a lot of them. Yours I read, and I just think they're great. So thank you for those. And I urge everybody listening to go to Tanya's website at careercoach.com and sign up for those. So thank you, Tanya. Any final thought you'd like to give us, a closing thought on tonight's topic?
I would love to hear from anyone, Mark, who tried this process this week. For sure. I know you felt that you didn't have a confrontation story today because nothing came up. But I would love people knowing this formula, because it will, when you think of proactive confrontation as a positive process, I think you will notice that it shows up more often than you think throughout the week. And I would love to hear if anyone who's listening wants to write to me directly and tell me a story, I'd love to hear it and share it. It's tanya@careercoach.com, again, on the website. You can reach us. But just would love to hear these stories, because they really help us continue to build ways to help people build relationships professionally and personally, and that's what we are most passionate about. So thank you, Mark, for this opportunity. It's really been a pleasure to work with you again on this, as on all things. So really honored to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being part of it. It's an honor to have you part of it. And, yes, if you want to send that email to Tanya, please feel free to do so. CC me on it, too, while you're at it. I would also love to hear your story. I'm at mark@markshall.com. You can also go to my website at www.markshall.com and fill out the contact form. So thank you so much again, Tanya. This is really valuable, really helpful, again, for our personal relationships as well as our business relationships. It's really great stuff.
So thank you. And before I wrap it up for tonight, I want to ask everybody out there to feel free to mark your words if you'd like. If you have feedback for us that you'd like to communicate to the Life Coach Radio Network, you can visit us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. And then just click the follow button and you'll be able to send us a message. If you want to send feedback directly to me instead or suggest a show topic, go to markschall.com. That's markschall.com and fill out the contact form. Would love to hear your comments and your thoughts. You could also check out all the ways to follow me there on my website as well. I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. And I look forward to speaking with you all again on September 8th when I interview Paul Sterling about the Magic Relationship Method. So until then, thank you for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark Schall, and those are my words. Good night.